Now I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of God's holy word. Today it is found in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Michelle is our oldest daughter. She's about 2 years older than Nicole. And like most big sisters, when Nicole was born, she was so anxious to help with the new baby. Even diaper changes and 2 a.m. feedings didn't stop her. She was always right there, right beside me, offering her advice, interpreting her sister's needs, and assisting in her care. And just what you want is a 2-year-old's help. But unlike most older siblings, she never outgrew the need to be the helper, protector, and interpreter of all things big and small that her sister happened to be facing. And that was good up to a point. They didn't argue like most sisters would. But, you know, there comes a time when babies can't be babies anymore. They need to learn to do things on their own. Like talk. I thought we would never convince Michelle to quit answering everything for Nicole. She knew exactly what Nicole wanted long before Nicole even asked for it. And she was more than willing to tell us. And as long as Michelle was willing to speak, Nicole didn't see any reason to use her voice. About the only thing she was willing to say was, "Please, thank you, uh-huh." And her only complete sentence, "Me too." Just when I was beginning to think she was never going to speak on her own, she found her voice. And from that point on, she never stopped talking. She had an opinion about most things and a comment about everything. She could even carry on a complete conversation in her sleep. Have you ever lived with a talkaholic? It can get really annoying. I would let her talk for just so long, and I would finally say, "Nicole, is your tongue tired of talking? Because my ears are sure tired of listening." And her response was, "Uh-uh, Mama." And she'd keep right on talking. It took a while. But she finally learned that just because you have an opinion, it doesn't mean you have to share it for everyone to hear. And I was really thankful for that. It saves some very embarrassing moments. But we've probably all known people who never really learned that important lesson. They seem to like the sound of their own voices, and they think we like them too. The one good thing about being around somebody like that is that, well, you never have to worry about holding up your end of the conversation. They do all the talking, you do all the listening. And that was Peter. He always had a comment or a piece of advice to give, regardless of the situation. And what was really sad, if he'd only listened, if he had asked a few questions, if he had stopped to think, Peter could have been such an asset. He could have really been extremely helpful in explaining things. Tragically, however, he always liked to speak first and think later. And that, of course, is what happened in today's reading. The scripture tells us that 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to a top of a very high mountain. Now, does anyone remember what happened 6 days previous to today's reading? Anyone? Now, when Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the human one is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And he said, "How about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus replied, "Happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because no human has shown this to you. Rather, my Father has shown this to you. I tell you that you are Peter, and I'll build my church on this rock, and the gates of the underworld won't be able to stand against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Anything you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven, and anything you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and legal experts, that he had to be killed and raised on the third day. Then Peter took hold of Jesus and scolded him, began to correct him, "God forbid, Lord, this won't happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stone that could make me stumble, for you are not thinking at God's thoughts, but human thoughts." Now think about how mad Jesus was. First off, have you ever had anybody grab you? Especially when they're mad? The scripture says that Peter grabbed a hold of Jesus. You know, kind of like you do a child when they're not listening and you take a hold of them and by the shoulders and you turn them around and you get in their face. That's what Peter did to Jesus. He grabbed a hold of Jesus and he said, No. That's not what's going to happen. Give it up. You know, we're told that there were moments when Jesus was obviously disappointed and discouraged about something the disciples did or didn't do. but he never shot back at them. He never got so angry that he spoke out of that anger until that day. Until Peter took it upon himself to tell him, the newly acknowledged Messiah, that he was wrong. Jesus had finally had it. He'd had it with all of Peter's bravado and all of his assumed importance. It was time that this disciple learned just to be quiet and listen. So for 6 long and probably very quiet days, we've all lived through those times when the argument's so big it just keeps going, right? And that silence that hangs in the air. 6 days. 6 long days. While Jesus took them from Philippi to the base of what we believe was Mount Tabor. And when he arrived there, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he had them accompany him up the mountain. Now, Peter may have at first seen this as the end to a very painful ordeal. He may have finally thought that the tension between him and Jesus was over. But Tabor is a very steep mountain. And so as they climbed that mountain, there was still the silence. You can't climb something that steep and keep talking. And in the quietness, one has to wonder, what was Peter thinking? As he watched Jesus moving up that mountain, what were his thoughts? Why was it so hard for Peter to put things together? He had declared Jesus the Messiah. He had decided to correct the Messiah. He had lived with the consequences of that mistake for 6 days. But when he saw Jesus with Moses and Elijah, what was the first thing he did? In place of listening to the 3 most powerful people in the scriptures, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, Peter walks up and says, "Hey, Lord, it's a good thing I'm here. You are so lucky. I'll build you 3 tents. One for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses." I wonder what Jesus did. When he stood there looking at Peter, did he throw his arms up? Did he stand there shaking his head in disgust and rolling his eyes? How do you answer somebody like that? What do you say? Or did he just wish that Peter would learn to be quiet? Just be quiet and listen. And if he had been, then maybe he would see what was right in front of him.
He could see the power of God's transforming love, but not Peter. Peter was too busy being Peter. So in place of looking at this as a possibility of truly understanding what was going on and seeing the change that God had made not only in Jesus but could make in him, he was determined to be the one in charge. He was standing on top of a mountain in the presence of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and he was going to be in charge. Amazing, isn't it? But there was a lesson here that was too important just to let go. So in a rare moment, in a very rare moment, God's own self intervened. We're told that, quote, while he was still speaking, while Peter was still talking about building these three tents, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud and said, "This is my son whom I dearly love. I am pleased with him. Listen to him." Listen to him. Like Peter, listening tends to be the one thing that most of us aren't really good at. And yet, until we slow ourselves down, until we shut out all of the competing voices and really listen to what Jesus is saying to us, we're never going to grow in our faith. We will never really understand those things he's trying to teach us, the things that will transform our lives and the world we live in. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't speak to us like he did the prophets of old? Have you ever questioned why it seems as though God is so removed from all that's going on in the world today? I mean, after all, we could use a few miracles here, right? Well, have you ever considered that maybe, just maybe, we should listen? Maybe if we just took time to simply sit and listen to God, God would show us the way to transform our problems into blessings. Maybe if we shut out all of the competing voices, stepped away from all of the distractions, and set aside all those rushing thoughts, there would be room in our lives for the Holy Spirit to grow us in our faith. Then, maybe, just maybe, in place of being in love with the sound of our own voice, we would fall head over heels in love with him. And that, my friends, would change everything. So this Lenten season, why don't we join Peter, James, and John on top of that mountain? Let's take time to simply stand in awe at being in the presence of Jesus. I mean, let's be content with just being there and feeling all the love that surrounds us. Trust him. Listen to him. Allow him to transform you into a faith-filled, faith-directed disciple. And by the way, He doesn't need your suggestions. He can do it himself. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.